Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, hosted by me, Robbie Earle, and by my good longtime friend from work, Kyle Schoenewill. Kyle, welcome to another episode of our podcast.
I have good news and I have bad news. Which one do you want first?
Oh gosh, always bad news first. Leave me on a high note.
I have COVID. And so...
Oh no.
Yeah, so I don't sound awesome today, so forgive my voice or occasional cough. I need a little bit of grace there. The good news, though, is I'm feeling way better, and I'm super pumped to be here today.
Oh, man. Well, now we've both recorded episodes of this podcast with COVID. Right.
Sign of the times.
There you go. Symmetry. Man, I didn't even know that. I thought that you got a... I thought it was something else.
You know what? I got a rapid test that said negative, but I had also taken like a longer, what is it, PCR test,
like,
and
PCR,
that came back
yeah.
positive. And that happened to another person I was with, a friend. So are the rapid tests worthless, ? I don't know. Or did I do it wrong? I don't know. But yes, I had texted you and said, no COVID. Psych.
Man. Well,
but,
I'm sorry about that, but I'm glad
I'm
you're feeling all right.
I'm on the mend. Yeah, I'm like a 7.5 out of 10 right now. So just a little bit stuffy at this
all
point.
Right.
That's it. Yeah.
So is that the good news?
That is the good news is I'm really excited to be here, because what happened was last weekend I was traveling and I got COVID. So you and I tried to record this episode early. And then as we said on Slack, your mic crapped out. So we spent like 3 hours recording and trying to decide what to do with this crappy audio you sent, all to
brutal.
Then decide that we couldn't release it. So it feels like it's been a long time, Robbie. That's what I mean. So I'm like excited to be back in the swing of it. I'm excited to be back in Nashville on the mend and back here with you. But we should also say, because of that, it allowed us to do something fun, right? Which is we put out two Friends from Work plus our Patreon episodes for free on the main feed. So if you're wanting a sample of kind of what we do over there, you can check those out now. We call them friendly freebies. One is a Comics Corner episode that Robbie does with his wife, Candace. One that was particularly fun, I think. And then one was the first episode of the Movie Club that I just started a week ago or 2 weeks ago, covering the Best Picture winner from 2019, Parasite. So if you want to get a taste of what we got going on, Friends from Work Plus, go check those out on the main feed.
And for those that don't know much about the Movie Club, I'd encourage you to check out that first episode just to kind of get a taste of what it is. That, as we've talked about, is going to be kind of an evolving thing, but that's an especially fun feature of Friends from Work Plus, because it's a real communal experience where you get to take part in the discussion with Kyle. It's a live discussion that's then kind of edited down into a podcast. So if you're available when he's recording those, he'll give you some notice. Sometimes I'll have a guest come in, let them pick the movie. It's a really fun thing, and you get to kind of be engaged. And even on the episode, you can hear him engage with some listener questions. So I think it's a really unique new thing for us that I've been really, really excited for people to see. So this is a great opportunity for you to check that out, because it is free on your main feed.
Well, thank you, Robbie. Another Friends from Work Plus thing that I'm abnormally excited about. We are going to start covering chunks of episodes from Daredevil, the Netflix show.
Yes.
Now, here's why it's extra fun. I don't think this has ever happened. And I was thinking about this last night. I do love that theme. I was thinking about this last night in my bed, Robbie. Have we ever done a show like this where you know it and have seen it multiple times and I have never seen it at all? Like, I know zero about Daredevil, the show, the character. I don't know anything about it. And I have now watched the first three episodes. And I was thinking, this is going to be kind of fun because in a way I am your Candace now for this, where no, you can be my guide through Daredevil and I can just react to it. But let me just say, I was immediately enthralled with it. Like within 30 minutes, I'm all in so far. So this is going to be really fun to react to. You know what I mean?
Which makes me so excited because listeners of this podcast know by now that the Daredevil character and that particular interpretation hold a very special place in my heart. So what we've done...
And I have some takes already. I've got some takes.
Oh, man. See, that's the thing. We haven't even... We've intentionally not discussed it beyond you just saying that you've been hooked.
Right.
Because I... Again, I'm excited for the reactions of our episodes. So folks know, we're going to try to get through season one prior to Moon Knight, which I think is actually going to be a kind of good tone setter on the Friends from Work Plus side of things, some more maybe street level, a little bit darker, a little bit grittier. And the way we're doing season one, and we'll see how this works and how we want to approach season two when we cross that bridge, but we are doing three parts of season one. So if you're listening now and want to start getting ready for that episode, we're going to be covering episodes 1 through 4 of season one of Daredevil, coming soon on the Friends from Work Plus feed. But speaking of kind of getting ready for Moon Knight, on the, again, main feed or just general Friends from Work side of things, we're also going to be kind of finishing up this group rewatch, marching through phase 4 to help set the stage for what's coming with Moon Knight. So that is actually starting this week. We're recording this episode the day that we are going to be watching the WandaVision finale with the Friends from Work crew. So find us on social media. You can find us on the Slack, and we're putting out those exact dates and times when you will press play to watch either an episode from a Disney Plus series or just the film that comes next in our watch order. And we're hoping to snag a couple of special guests to join along, maybe live tweet. The bulk of this, by the way, will take place via social media, via the Slack. So if you want to take part, that's where the conversation is going to be happening. Although it will all be culminating in an official Saga So Far episode here on the main feed that will come out right before Moon Knight. So it's sort of a two-part thing that we're excited about just to kind of get us in the right headspace.
Yeah, weirdly, even though this is the most downtime we've had from Marvel in a long time, in some ways, I feel like we have the most going on we've ever had because I'm trying to watch Daredevil on the side and crush that. And then I'm on a rewatch with my wife in general, in which we are up to Shang-Chi, I think. So I need to go back and rewatch some of these things with you, with WandaVision and stuff. And then we're also trying to prep some of these new things for Moon Knight, some of these new things for the movie club, the comics corner, et cetera. So lots going on over here. But Robbie, I want to add one other thing that has nothing to do with the MCU. I binged all of Ted Lasso season one. Have you seen Ted Lasso?
Oh, I love Ted Lasso.
Do you really? I thought of one key thing I wanted to share with you. Our listeners don't know this. I really, really, really hate shock humor. You know what I mean by that, right? Like, I don't like humor that solely relies on a really crass joke or language to be funny. So like, I'm not against language being in things, but when that is the sole purpose of the humor, I feel like it doesn't work. Or like body humor or poop jokes or whatever.
Right.
And I put my finger on why Ted Lasso is so different, right? Because Ted Lasso's got tons of language and tons of inappropriate jokes. But I found Ted Lasso so endearing and captivating because I think the key difference is the humor comes from his reaction to the shock moments. Do you know what I mean by that? It's like the way he's so positive is what's funny, not the fact that somebody said something crazy. And I really liked that. I liked his unrelenting optimism. Like, that is kind of a show made for Kyle, you know? Sports and unrelenting optimism.
I didn't realize you hadn't seen Ted Lasso yet. What a fun journey for you. No, it's such a unique, and it was exactly, I mean, that came out in 2020 at a time when I think the world really needed that sort of content. It's like you and I say, and like Candace and I were talking about on our last Comics Corner episode, it's just, it's so easy. Like the shock humor, the hyper kind of negative approach to things is easier, but I also think it's cheaper. I think if you can find a way to inspire people and encourage people, I know that sounds really cheesy, while also still finding genuine humor, which is what I think makes Ted Lasso such a unicorn. It's not like you're watching like a kid's show. Like, it's still genuinely funny and moving, but it's just not, it kind of goes for the higher path. And again, like, I think that takes more creativity, but I think it's ultimately more rewarding when you can do that effectively.
Absolutely. Robbie, so the negative side of having coronavirus is I haven't felt awesome for 3 days, but the positive side is I have watched 10 episodes of Ted Lasso and 3 episodes of Daredevil in like the last 48 hours. So you do get a lot of time to binge some of that stuff, which is nice.
You're turning into me.
I am. It's exactly what you did too. And I made fun of you for doing it. And here I am. last housekeeping thing. I have 4 total Friends From Work Spider-Man hoodies left. The reason I haven't done like a giveaway with them or something is because I only have 2 smalls and 2 triple X's. So here's what I'm going to do. I discounted those from $40 to $27, $20 plus $7 shipping. I want to get rid of those 4. So if anyone's interested in a small hoodie or a XXXL hoodie, buy it for $27, $13 discount, maybe $20 discount when you count shipping. So yeah, I want to get rid of those. Anyways, that's it. Today is going to be really, really fun, Robbie, because you and I talk about on this podcast that we are not the podcast of speculation typically, but today is extra special because we are going to strictly speculate. That's right. I want to do a different thing. Shout out Pete for this idea, where you and I go through and make 3 bold predictions for the MCU in 2022. By the way, I screw that up every time I try to say 2022. I say 2022. I get it wrong every time. What is wrong with me? 2022 bold predictions for the MCU, Rob.
I'm excited, which is saying something because I'm a lawyer, so you know I like to hedge. I don't like to make bold predictions, but I'm gonna make an exception just for our listeners. That's how dedicated I am to this podcast.
So here's what we're gonna do. I'll make one, then you make one, back and forth for 3 total. Just for our listeners' sake, these are the projects that we have to pick from in 2022. Moon Knight, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, Somewhere in the Summer, She-Hulk, Thor Love and Thunder, Miss Marvel, Secret Invasion, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
Wow. That's a good lineup.
Okay. So I'll go first. Yeah?
All right.
Sticking chronologically here, I'll start with the first project. I predict that Moon Knight will become my second favorite Disney Plus show ever. Now, first of all, that's not that bold because there's only been like 4 or 5. And it's also not that bold because I don't know that it can top WandaVision for me. But Moon Knight seems to have all the makings of a Kyle show. Psychological, slightly grittier, darker, a little more grounded, thriller, not horror, but, you know, tense suspense type thing.
Right.
I could see it becoming my second favorite.
No, I'm with you. I think everything that the more I read, the more I see about Moon Knight, the more excited I get. It's sort of like the Batman movie that's coming out next month. I'm just getting increasingly excited to see what this take is. So I'm with you, for you especially. It's one of the reasons why I was really excited for you to watch Daredevil, because I think a lot of the things that you have been saying for the last few years that you want from the MCU, I think Daredevil gives you, and I think Moon Knight could also give you.
It does feel like they're kind of in the same vein. At least only watching three episodes of Daredevil and having never seen Moon Knight, it feels like it could be similar. Also, Oscar Isaac, which is a great name to be adding to the MCU right now.
Oh,
because he's hot right now. You're grabbing him at a good time.
Yeah, and man, I feel like he's one of those guys that has done an excellent job of picking his projects. Like, I think that's a unique skill for an actor or for your team, however you want to think about that. By the way, I think Chris Evans is another one that's done a really good job with that recently. But yeah, if you think about the movies that Oscar Isaac has showed up in, there are not many bad ones. Like, there are plenty of good actors who will still turn in good performances in otherwise bad movies. And I feel like he's got this kind of magic touch, whether it's Ex Machina or Dune or Drive. It's like he's all these kind of modern classics that he shows up in. Annihilation is also another one that I love.
So weird. Golly, Annihilation is so weird. All right, your turn.
Okay, so as we're going chronologically, there are a lot of predictions that we can make about Doctor Strange in terms of folks that are going to show up. I'm going to choose to avoid, as Candace would say, that low-hanging fruit, and I'm going to jump to Thor Love and Thunder.
Well, Kyle. And Robbie, let's note that I think we're getting really close to doing a ton of breakdown of Doctor Strange, you know? So I think there'll be more Doctor Strange talk in the next couple months here, a lot of it.
That's true. We're less than 3 months away, which is kind of insane.
Yeah.
But yes, if you don't get what I'm referencing, there are conversations about a lot of the quote unquote Marvel legacy titles being folded in with Doctor Strange. So people are speculating that Hugh Jackman might show up as Wolverine, or that Chris Evans might show up as the Human Torch. Shout out Katrina on the Slack.
That's her dream. That's her dream.
Oh my
come
gosh.
True.
And who knows? I don't know. We'll see as we kind of get closer. I think, like we always say, if none of that stuff happens, I am just really happy with a well-told story focused on Benedict Cumberbatch's character. And I'm just happy if we get no other appearances that we are getting Rachel McAdams back, because I was worried that Doctor Strange was the end of Christine Palmer. So that's all I need personally.
Hey,
but anyway, like I said,
hey, two quick thoughts. one, this is where I'm getting really close to just shutting that kind of stuff off. I don't need to hear any more rumors of who's being cast in that movie, because we're getting dangerously close to, I don't want someone to get one right and then me find out. I want to be pleasantly surprised. So I'm getting close to that point. And then secondly, do you ever wonder if Benedict Cumberbatch will start feeling a similar way with Doctor Strange that like Chris Hemsworth did with Thor early on? Like, again, Doctor Strange in his original movie and stuff is way more developed and better. But since that first movie, he's been used more as like the side focal point, right? Like, it's like, hey, bring Doctor Strange in to do this thing. And I wonder if he's going to get to a point where he feels like he hasn't been able to develop the character. Like, where does he want to take Doctor Strange? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah. Although,
like,
I
in
feel
the same
like-
way that Chris Hemsworth wanted to push Thor in a different direction and Mark Ruffalo wanted to push Hulk in a different direction, I wonder if Doctor Strange is going to get to a point where he's like, let's go a different route with this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think to me, what's encouraging is that the multiverse of madness seems like it could be his Ragnarok in some ways, which I agree. I don't think he needs it in the same way that Thor needed it, but I see what you're saying. But I feel like bringing in Sam Raimi, doing such interesting things just with like, I mean, just the posters we've gotten of the movie so far have kind of shown that we're getting some variants of Doctor Strange. And I think that is going to give him the chance to flex his acting muscles some.
But
you know?
I mean, so more what's his character arc, right? Like, because his first movie, he's egotistical, narcissistic, you know, gets humbled, comes back from that. And since he's come back from that, he's pretty much Sorcerer Supreme type guy. I get the joke. You know what I mean? All wise. Like, where do you go from that?
Well, I think No Way Home was an important step in that, though, because Ragnarok, Infinity War, Endgame, he was very much the kind of stoic, wise person on the team or in the room.
Ancient one, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and I think No Way Home was good because it started showing us that he's still that same guy that could be arrogant, that thinks he knows best and won't necessarily follow. I mean, the Doctor Strange movie did a really good job of setting that up, I think, above all else, that and that conversation he has between the Ancient One, where it's like, well, yeah, sometimes you do have to bend or break the rules for the greater good, which is a very dangerous, kind of a slippery slope of a path to start down. And I feel like No Way Home used that really well for its own story and also set up the Doctor Strange sequel to explore that even further, like this idea that he will cross these lines that someone like Mordo would never cross and that's going to come back to bite him. Like, I think that's going to be at the core, because that's the core of the character in the comics so often, is it's like he has these arcs where he kind of learns from his mistakes and then falls back in the same trap.
And does he have a conflict with Wanda or something? Maybe not conflict, right, but does something go awry there? Dude, you know, Elizabeth Olsen, I can't wait.
Well, so it's funny that you brought her up, because I keep seeing more and more, talking about predictions, conversations about her being the villain in that movie. What do you think about that?
No, I've said this before. I don't think she'll be the villain. I think WandaVision was enough of teaching us that she doesn't want to be the full villain, if that makes sense. But I don't mind this idea. Again, I hate this analogy, but I can't think of a different one. Do you know what I'm gonna say? I don't mind, like, the Phoenix analogy from X-Men, where, like, like, I don't mind her being super, super overpowered and slightly, like, dual personalities, where, like, when she goes into Scarlet Witching, they have to kind of rein her back in, almost. But she doesn't want to be there all the time, almost. I don't want her to turn into Sorcerer Supreme 2.0, where she's all wise and just knows everything. But I like this idea that she's even more powerful than Strange, and they don't know how to handle that. But I think she's ultimately still good at her core. So that's what I hope they kind of play with that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree, by the way. I don't think I want to see her be painted as the villain, because, yeah, I've been watching WandaVision, getting ready for our Saga So Far rewatch tonight, and they do such a good job in those middle episodes, you know, the conversations with Hayward and Monica Rambeau and Jimmy Woo, of talking about how complicated the whole situation is. And then, you know, in the finale, they focus on that a lot in the conversation she has with Agatha. And I think they paint her as such a complex character, and the whole Westview situation as such a, in some ways, gray area, that I think to throw out that nuance to just now give her, like, another kind of villain story, I think would not be where I'd want them to go with that.
Okay, wow. I never let you get to your first prediction. So,
which isn't even about Doctor Strange, because I said we weren't going to talk about Doctor Strange.
And then I said, we'll talk about it more in the upcoming months, only to then talk about it for 10 minutes here. So let's do the next one.
Okay, so moving along, though, chronologically, my first prediction is related to Thor: Love and Thunder, which is currently set to release on July 8th, 2022. And here's my bold prediction for that movie, Kyle. I think that Christian Bale's Gore the God Butcher in that movie could wind up being my favorite villain of all time.
Wow. Okay, that's pretty hot. That's pretty scalding.
Look, just, you know, we're making bold predictions here. Let me explain why. There are kind of two main reasons. Well, yeah, two main reasons here. One, I love that character as imagined in the Jason Aaron comics, because it's a perfect Thor villain. In Ragnarok, we got the kind of political look at what Asgard is, and Hela comes back as the kind of tyrant king to really paint how abused that position can be, and really how complicated the Asgardian history is, and how it really is kind of a colonial imperial setup. And I thought that's one of the things we talked about that a lot in our Ragnarok episode, if you're listening and don't know what we're getting at here. But that's one of the things that made that so creative and so uniquely tailored to that character. Like that Hela and that plot would not have worked as well without the existing Asgard framework we had from the prior movies. I think what's fun about Gore is he takes on the kind of deity aspect of an Asgardian, the fact that Thor is known as the God of Thunder, and deals with just the nature of belief, the nature of religion, and what purpose someone like Thor would serve, and kind of what duty they have to the people that may have worshipped them or looked up to them, like however you want to paint it. And so I think it's almost, I love that it's Taika coming back. It's the flip side, I think, of what they already explored in Love and Thunder. But the second thing is just that it's Christian Bale.
And yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know he's going to pour everything into it.
Right. I mean, he's the kind of epitome of the method actor that is
willing to do. You ever seen those weight loss photos of his?
Oh, man, it's crazy.
Or weight gain photos?
I mean, yeah, you look at the difference between American Psycho and Vice, right? And it's like either way, he kind of goes all in.
Or how jacked he was for Batman. Yeah, geez. Sorry, right. Anyways.
Well, and speaking of American Psycho, that makes me all the more excited because I was first introduced to Christian Bale mostly through the lens of Batman and The Prestige, which is an incredible movie. But seeing him as the villain, he does that really, really well. He does the kind of maniacal thing well. And I think Gore really is one of the best villains to come out of Marvel in the last decade or two. So I just think that it's set up to be, in the way that you're thinking Moon Knight is going to speak your language, I think this one could very much speak Robbie's language. So bold prediction, Gore the God Butcher could be my new favorite villain.
Well, my only request is that he doesn't leave in the first movie. Like, I want him to hang around. I think it'd be cool. Have him be around for five or six movies or something. Or I don't know anything about his character. I don't know how they could handle that. But even could Captain Marvel run into him or something? You know, that's the kind of thing I'm looking for.
Right.
My prediction, my number two prediction, is going to stick with the same movie. And I don't feel great about this one. So, yes, I know I'm hedging my bets here. I don't feel great about this. But my prediction is that Thor, Odinson, will die in that movie.
Wow.
Okay, let's just make a pros and cons list to like why you think he would die versus why he wouldn't die. There's part of me that thinks that Chris Hemsworth could be getting close to being done with the character. Like, have we taken him as far as we can take him? We've talked a lot about he's already been humbled, so we don't want to see them do that again. So is there a better way to do it than have him die and somewhat pass the torch to Natalie Portman? On the other hand, everything I've ever seen from Chris Hemsworth off the screen is that he loves this stuff and he, quote, will keep making these movies as long as people let him.
Right.
So whereas like with Chris Evans, it felt like the writing was on the wall that he was about to be done, if you remember that, when it was getting close.
And RDJ.
It feels the opposite with Chris Hemsworth, but we know how much he wanted to push the character with Ragnarok. Is this the final step of him pushing in a different direction and doing something else? So I could see it both ways. I'm going to go on a limb and say he's going to die.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to say whether I want that or not.
They would have to do it right. Like, we'd have to see how they do it, obviously.
Right. I mean, I don't actively want it. He's not in a spot where I'm like, okay, this character's played out yet.
And we've had so much turnover with the other originals that I don't think it's horrible to keep one around.
Right. I mean, I do think it would make sense in a world in which Natalie Portman is going to now take center stage in her own franchise, which I think would be really, really fun and really great for the MCU, in terms of like what you were saying with Oscar Isaac, just kind of bringing someone in to bring someone in that I think just has that added star power. Like the fact that she's only ever been used as the love interest, I think is a shame. And so I'm really glad she's coming back here. And kind of like what you're saying about Gore the God Butcher, I hope that I would like for her Thor to stick around, I think. I think that's a unique take on the character. I think there's a lot, there are different stories that can be told there. Those comics were excellent, so there's a lot to mine. But I think that begs the question, well, if she sticks around as Thor, then what happens to Thor? Because in the comics, there are reasons why she shows up. Because basically, at that point, Thor Odinson is unable to fulfill his duties as the God of Thunder, so she takes up the mantle. But if Thor doesn't die, you know, what does it look like for them to both just kind of coexist? I don't know if that would make sense. So yeah, I don't know. I could for sure see it.
And there's just other questions about that in general, right? Because how crazy would it be if Natalie Portman ended up being that character with how she left the first time almost? And Right. Is she going to be willing to sign on for 6 films or something if she's fully replacing Thor? There's just a lot going on there. But maybe that's not the point of it too. I don't know. They could do it a different way. I don't know. I don't even know what.
They had like, there was a death of Jane Foster Thor comic in that run that was also pretty high profile and pretty moving. So like, I don't know that that's kind of the opposite of what I was just saying, like to introduce that and then immediately dispose of that character. But I kind of like that we just have no idea where they're going with this one in general. Like we know sort of what they're pulling from, but since they've already done a lot of the unworthy Thor stuff, we really don't know how all of this is going to connect. One thing you had talked about before is you know, the question of where this movie will even take place, which we really don't know. Like we don't know if this is going to be like a space odyssey adventure or if it's going to be kind of back to Thor spending time on Earth. A la the first two.
Right. He's gone, but you have most of the Asgardians on Earth. We know Tessa Thompson's going to play a major role. Is she now the queen of Asgard on Earth? Do they try to find a new planet? Do they just get into a spaceship and leave? Like, or is it going to be more like Captain Marvel and the Skrulls where like they're out to inhabit a new planet, I guess? I don't know. I'm right. really looking forward to that. Plus, we have to just say, we know Thor left with the Guardians, but now this movie is happening before the Guardians, right? So, like, do we have to get a scene of him getting dropped off?
Right.
We know the Guardians are in this film. So how long are they in this film for? It's going to be wild, dude.
Right. Yeah. Well, and yeah, we'll have to talk about the Guardians in a second, too, as we're kind of marching through this. All right, let me give you my second prediction. All right, so jumping to the next film, I believe, at least as of now, that will be coming out in 2022, we have Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Here's my, I don't know if this is a bold prediction or not. I guess it is. I think that the next Black Panther is going to be Nakia, who is played by Lupita Nyong'o.
For what it's worth, that is also what I would have predicted.
It's one of those things where I'm halfway predicting what I think will happen, and I'm halfway just trying to will this into existence because that's what I would like to happen. Thing.
Yeah. Right? let's talk about the candidates here. I think practically on paper, it's my favorite one because Shuri is a candidate, but she already kind of has her own role. You know what I mean? Like, she has that tech thing down. It feels like it's not the next logical step for her to go from the tech person to the actual Black Panther.
Like, I could see it, but I just think that there are more... I think I would be more interested based on the the story that we've already kind of gotten from Nakia and seeing her step into that role. Because, you know, you forget she was sort of pushing T'Challa in the first Black Panther film in a similar way to how Killmonger was, to like go out and do the outreach. And that sort of leads him to approach that in the way he does by like opening up the center in Oakland. And so I think she's got, you know, has a really interesting motivation. And as she says, you know, because in the movie, remember, she's offered the heart-shaped herb and she says, no, you know, I'm not a warrior. But I think that, again, that's a really interesting tension. Like, if...
Right,
if
like the fact that she turned it down makes her the most, you know, logical candidate.
Right. It's
if you're
it's
nothing
like
without the suit, then you don't deserve to wear it.
What's the... Oh, gosh. What's the line I'm thinking of where it's like, that's why it has to be you?
Anyway. I don't know, but no, I love it. Yeah, what is it? We got to get more MCU quotes in. I just got one in. Did you catch it? Yeah.
I did. Of course I caught it. I'm just trying to remember what the... Because that is an MCU quote. Gosh, I'm like floundering on air here. Anyway, I just think that like capitalizing on that tension would make for another really interesting installment. And I just don't know that Shuri has... They could still do a really good job, but like you said, I think there's already a really interesting role that Shuri's playing, and I don't think we've seen that she would struggle in that way and add like that element to the narrative.
Well, and it's important to remember that Nakia was actually already out there doing the outreach stuff. It wasn't that she was even just pushing T'Challa to do it. She was already actually doing it. So I love that idea. The other one obviously is M'Baku. Do you see him as a candidate?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think that's the third. And I could also see that being really interesting. We should say that there was a rumor that he had renegotiated his contract fairly recently, and that was kind of seen as evidence that he has a bigger role in this next film. And so, one, that's not surprising regardless. Right, because they're not going to have Chadwick, who is clearly the centerpiece of this next film. So it would make sense that everybody's role would be increased. But yeah, I don't think that there's the same storytelling potential with Winston Duke's character as I think we have with Lupita's. But again, I think it could be done really well, and I love him as an actor and would be happy to see more of him in whatever function.
And then I also don't think it's going to be Okoye, just because they kind of have the King's Guard, the Dora Milaje, nailed down so much to where it's like, that doesn't seem like the next logical step, because you're losing something already so cool to me by her being the head of that already. Like, they've already made them fierce, fierce warriors as they are. I don't know. But maybe, but I just don't think that's what they're going to do either.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we do have to acknowledge, lest folks point this out, Shuri is the one of the three that has been the Black Panther in the comics. So if we're looking at the comic side, then that would be
it's
my
totally
prediction.
Possible. It's totally possible.
Yeah, yeah. And I could see... In some ways, I think it's more likely than Nakia. Like I said, I would just rather them kind of go a different route based on... Because the Shuri that was the Black Panther in the comics was a very different character than the Shuri that we've gotten in the MCU. And that's why I think I'm looking for a different thing. Because in some ways, I think Nakia is more similar to that version of Shuri that we got in those comics than the version that we've gotten from Letitia Wright.
We'll see. Like I've said so many times before in this podcast, the thing that I am most anxious to see is how they handle Chadwick's passing. Not only that he's not there for the film, because I do think they could have rewritten the film, obviously, and they have by now, but how do they actually mechanically handle the fact that T'Challa died? Do they show that he died off camera? Like, do we start the movie with like, oh, he died in an adventure, and we start with a funeral, let's say? Or do they use a Black Panther stunt double without him saying a lot of lines and show him actually die in a fight? Or Do they just say like he went away or something and quit?
Right.
Or like how they actually handle that's going to be really unique. By the way, I hope it's not that one. I hope it is a death, but I just wonder if we'll see it or not, kind of.
I know.
My third bold prediction for the MCU in 2022, drum roll, brrr, I think one of the post-credit scenes is going to be of Kang. I don't know which movie it's going to come in, but we know he plays a focal role in Ant-Man 3. And I'm thinking with how much multiverse stuff we're getting into that we may be in this for a while, in which case I think they're going to tease him being around for a while.
Uh-huh.
So I think we'll see him this year.
Yeah, that's a good one. I would love that. I think just in general for him to stick around longer, like what you were saying earlier, I think is positive. We need more of that and less one and dones.
And it has all of the makings of such a unique villain to me because A, you could have him be a long-standing villain that's around for a long time. B, I love that he doesn't strictly rely on strength. Like, for example, when Sylvie goes to kill He Who Remains, she just stabs him, no problem, and he dies like a man. Because he doesn't
like
have superpower. He just got, yeah, there you go. But you know what I mean? It's not like a next level up type thing. But I do love this idea that no matter what you do, he's inevitable. that he comes back, right? Because eventually with the multiverse, one version of him figures out Eliath and one version of him shuts down the multiverse. You know, I like that idea.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's the way of keeping the Dragon Ball Z effect at bay of having to top the sheer power of Thanos and instead coming at it from a totally different angle where it's more a kind of creativity in that he's figured out how to kind of unlock the multiverse in certain ways. And, you know, I think that could also be our connect to Fantastic Four because there's the Reed Richards Kang connection in the comics where he's essentially a descendant of Reed. And so kind of setting up that he's just hyper smart, talented, and maybe it would be a really unique way to kind of go backwards and get to the Fantastic Four. But I think that could be kind of fun too.
Well, and that's another perfect example. I just don't think that they're going to have Ant-Man be the character to shut down Kang. I know he's in the movie, but I just don't see that being the guy to finally close that off. So I wonder if Kang survives Ant-Man as well, in which case it does seem like the characters like the Fantastic Four are more likely to stop Kang.
So, right.
Yeah.
My next prediction takes us almost to the end of 2022, and it involves the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which we have not talked about a lot on the show because we frankly have no idea what it is going to be.
And if we've heard the Star Wars holiday special, that's why we haven't talked about it a whole lot.
We have heard, frankly, more about Guardians 3. You know, James Gunn's been posting a lot about filming that. We've seen some photos come out. We've heard more about that than I think we have about the holiday special. But my bold prediction is that the Guardians holiday special will see Gamora reunited with the Guardians and sort of set the stage for Guardians 3.
So you said this to me before. Do you think that if that's true, that is James Gunn's way of kind of writing out what happened in Infinity War? Because that's not what he was planning on for Guardians 3. And he kind of can reverse it so that he can still make Guardians 3 how he wanted. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, is that why the holiday special exists then? For him to kind of correct what script he wanted. It's not correct, but you know what I'm saying? It would be an intentional retcon on his part so that he can still tell Guardians 3 like he wanted. I don't know.
That's
I don't know if I like
what,
that or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because that's such... That her death is sort of the emotional center of Infinity War. And so I would hate to see that undone. But, you know, I mean, Marcus and McFeely are the ones that kind of set that up by having that version of Gamora loose after Endgame. I'd love to hear the conversations that were going on between them and James Gunn and trying to figure out like if they knew where he was wanting to go for that third movie, because I do know he's had that script around for a while, because I've heard that it's super emotional and that the actors were really moved by it, you know, years ago, like before Endgame even came out. I remember seeing some of these stories. So it does seem like something that if he was pretty attached to the story he was telling, and Guardians has always been pretty separate from the rest of the universe. So I could see if he had a clear arc laid out, that he would want to use this little stop along the way to readjust the pieces to be able to tell that story. Cause he has said that Guardians 3 will be the last time that we see this team of Guardians on screen.
The beauty and the irony of this whole thing is I love when we get to the points of the story where I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I could legitimately see Drax being gone / dead. I could see Rocket being gone / dead. I could see Quill being gone / dead. And the irony is, I think the only character that probably won't die is going to be Gamora. Right. Like, the other ones might not die, but she's the least likely candidate now, because I don't think they'd rewrite it that they get reunited only to kill her again. With like you said, the way she was the emotional core of Infinity War, I don't think they repeat those steps. But absolutely, off screen, we know Drax is ready to be done. So I think that's for sure. Rocket has already gotten some of that redemption in recent movies. So, like, does he have many more places to go? Right? Like, Endgame,
right,
he's a totally different character than he was when we first found him. He's a team player. He's sacrificing for other people. So I think he's kind of already gotten that arc. And Quill, I don't know. Do you want to keep him around, or do you want to have the shock of a main character passing, you know? It's just kind of crazy that we're now at a point where I could see all them leaving, but the one I can't see leaving is Gamora.
Yeah,
off screen, Zoe Saldana's the one that always posts photos and stuff. Like, I think she's into it.
Yeah. It's funny because this is, like I said, Guardians has, for the longest time, you know, Guardians was kind of separate from the rest of what was happening in the MCU, and the only connection was Thanos, and that's why they suddenly kind of got put front and center for Infinity War. But yeah, I'm trying to think what it would look like to keep that thread going. And I'm not sure, because Adam Warlock, I don't think will be introduced and disposed of in one film. I think they're going to want to continue to grow the cosmic side. And it looks like by approaching that, they are hoping to kind of dig deep and get kind of crazy weird like those Starlin comics did. And if the Guardians are gone, you know, what's the vessel to do that? Because I don't think you will necessarily get that from Thor. And I don't know that maybe a Silver Surfer movie is coming that they're going to be setting up.
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. Maybe. Yeah, that's true. Maybe they're going to kind of take the cosmic mantle. But yeah, I could see all those characters being gone.
But the fact that Miss Marvel is going to be in the Marvels makes me feel like they're actually leaning the other way, that they're going to pull Captain Marvel back down to Earth a little more. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
A couple of the projects we didn't talk about yet today that I actually really want to talk about. We didn't really mention anything with She-Hulk or Miss Marvel. It just got me thinking. We've talked about this with Marvel and the villains before, where a lot of times the standard default is to fall into the trap of making the villain just a evil version of the hero, and how we don't love that. I've been thinking about, I really hope Marvel does a better job than the comics at coming up with new, fresh characters that we can embrace versus replaying the same beats of their predecessor. And I don't mean this as a slight to any one specific character, but I don't really want Yelena to turn into Black Widow 2.0 now that we don't have Black Widow. I don't want Rhodey to like turn into Iron Man 2.0 now that we don't have Iron Man.
Or Ironheart.
Exactly. But we talk about the super soldier thing, how they keep bringing that up. Like, I don't want more Captain right. America super soldiers. I don't want Hulk to just pass down his legacy to She-Hulk, and it's kind of the same thing.
Right.
And I don't want Thor just to pass down to Jane Foster as Thor, and it'd be the same thing. Like, think about it. We're going to get dangerously close to doing that if we're not careful.
Right.
Oh, Hawkeye, Kate Bishop, literally making right. the joke of like, well, do we just call her Hawkeye? Like, I get what they're doing, but that feels like a way to cheapen the system by just telling the same story beats if you're not careful.
Right.
While just moving on to the next set of actors.
Yeah, now, well, and
I do think there's ways to differentiate it, right? Like, I think Ms. Marvel has potential to be a perfect setup, right? Because I've told you before, I love that she's a fan. It's a different kind of uh-huh. approach. She's not related. It's not her bloodline. It's not something like that. She's not super powered, but she got a different set of powers.
Right.
Where she grows her hands and all that. What is it? Enlarging? What do they call it?
Embiggen.
Embiggen. But again, that's kind of a fresh take. That's not like she's just prepping herself to become Captain Marvel 2.0, you know? Right. And then I think like with yeah. Black Panther, for me, it's a little bit different because we've seen that the Black Panther role is like a physical mantle that gets passed down anyways. So even though that's the one movie that was forced into a change they didn't want to make, that's maybe another one that's primed to do it pretty smoothly because that is a mantle. Anyone can be the Black Panther. It's just the next king. So I don't think that's a retread of the character. But I get nervous with shows like She-Hulk, to be honest. And even Black Widow. Like, I love Yelena, but that makes me a little bit nervous. Like, we had a Black Widow.
Well, I think the important thing is making sure that the characters themselves are
correct.
Like not are interesting and unique and taking different approaches and telling different stories. And I think we've gotten that so far. Although I'm definitely with you, and I'm sensitive to the same thing. But like, I think a great example of how to do that is with Sam Wilson. Like, you know, Sam Wilson as Captain America
right.
is such a different thing than Steve Rogers as Captain America. And
which
Falcon
is the whole
Winter
point
Soldier.
Of the show is right. not trying to be the same Steve Rogers. Yeah.
And I think She-Hulk, what I'm hoping is that they always stick with the kind of classic interpretation of She-Hulk, who was always very different than Bruce's Hulk, because whereas Bruce would lose control and was a rage monster, Jennifer Walters just turns into like a taller, like more muscly version of who she already is. And she still has all of her wits about her and is still funny and is a lawyer. And it's just a very different take on the gamma transformation. What I don't love is in recent years, they've been flipping that in the comics and having her Hulk out. And I don't really enjoy that iteration of the character at all, because it basically is just Hulk with long hair. And I think that takes a lot of the charm and the purpose of that character away. So far, this show looks like it is leaning heavily on that original John Byrne stuff. I think we're even maybe getting some fourth wall breaking, which She-Hulk did before, you know, Deadpool made that famous. So I'm really excited about that show. One, because I think that that's just one of Marvel's more interesting characters. I talked about this on our last Comics Corner episode. There's a new series that's just started, written by Rainbow Rowell, that I think is going to be excellent. So that's She-Hulk number one, that's available now in local comic book stores if you want to check that out. But the other reason I'm really excited about She-Hulk, and maybe my other prediction for that, I think that we're going to get some blip era fill-in for Bruce, and maybe even see that time he spent in the Gamma Lab finally, that they were originally going to show at the end of Infinity War and chose not to. So I think that that's another thing that I have been craving and wanting more of. I've wanted more of Bruce Banner in general because of the weird film right situation. He's never gotten to have his own film the way that other characters have. So I think that's something that this show could tee up really well. And in doing so, kind of continue to highlight the difference between those two characters.
And then Secret Invasion, we haven't really talked about. That's the other show at the very end of this year. Could get pushed back to 2023. But have any thoughts on that?
I'm just really excited. This feels like it could be, in terms of the ones that I think will really move the needle, I think Moon Knight will, just because I think it's going to have a lot of crossover appeal. And I think Secret Invasion could, depending on the way they handle it, it's been said by Feige and co that they're taking a very different approach to this event than Bendis did in the comics. And that when Bendis did it, it was like, right.
Well, it's such a unique property because, right. Well, because in Captain Marvel, the twist was the Skrulls are the ones that are oppressed, not the oppressors. So that was the whole point of the Secret Invasion in the comics, right? Was that the Skrulls ended up being bad and you had to find out which ones were which. And yet now they can't really do that. So where do they go from there?
And the scope of it in the comics was massive. I mean, it was this, it kind of had repercussions throughout the whole Marvel universe. And I think...
Now, you've mentioned to me off air before that there's a chance that they still do that with Skrulls and that it's like a rogue religious zealot group of Skrulls like that are just like terrorists, yeah, basically, regardless if they're Skrulls or not. And so even some of the other Skrulls would maybe theoretically be trying to stop their own kind, maybe.
Yeah.
And that could be a twist.
That's my, if I had to put money on it, that's what I would say they're doing. Because that is part of the comic there. And I think that's really the only way, unless they just totally, totally flip it on its head somehow and still make the Skrulls the hero, which I think just kind of takes the fun out of the whole like who's who thing, then I think it has to be some level of like a subgroup.
Because as we get a little bit closer to that, you're going to start being like, is Val a Skrull? You know?
Right.
Because, like, would that one make sense? If it was a fanatic Skrull, maybe it makes sense that this fanatic Skrull is assembling a somewhat questionable team.
Right.
Or whoever. I mean, as we get closer, it's going to be, is Furious Skrull, is so-and-so a Skrull, is Captain Marvel a Skrull? It's going to be like that for everybody. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that I think is going to be fun. Feige said that this is much like it's smaller in scope, and I think it's going to feel more espionage style, like almost the Winter Soldier film, than it will like a big event. And I'm into that. I think like I'm actually really excited to get a Winter Soldier era or Winter Soldier style Nick Fury again, because we haven't gotten that. I mean, we haven't gotten much Nick Fury at all since Winter Soldier. We got a couple of scenes in Age of Ultron and then that post-credit scene in Infinity War, and then everything we got with him in Far From Home doesn't count because we found out it was Talos. So I'm really excited to just kind of hang out with super spy Nick Fury again in this context specifically. I think it could wind up being a really, really fun MCU project.
One last thought, and then we'll wrap up. It feels inevitable at this point that the next big event we are building up towards is a Secret Wars film, right? It's going to have to be a multiversal thing. I've been on my rewatch, and yeah, I'm already realizing in Phase 4 how much they're not even hinting at it, they're doing it, right? But like they hinted at it with Far From Home. They hinted at it with WandaVision, both of which kind of weren't it. But then they obviously did it in No Way Home. They talk about some other dimensional things in Shang-Chi. And then we're going to start getting into some of these movies, I think, like Multiverse of Madness, potentially Secret Invasion. Like there's going to be some level of it. And it just feels like, well, what's the next team up? It's going to have to be that, right? I know people have been saying that, but now I'm seeing that's where they're going.
Yeah. No, I think you're right there.
And how they handle that movie would be even more insane, which, by the way, is not even announced. But I'm saying, like, Infinity War had all of the Avengers that they had to balance. Now imagine having to balance all of those plus every other variant of those characters forever.
Right. Yeah.
They'd have to find some way to rein that movie in. You know what I mean? Otherwise, it just can't be relatable.
Well, and we had a heated debate about that movie on the Slack. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw that on who should direct it. Yes, I saw that.
Because the Russo brothers have made it known that they are very interested in coming back if Marvel did Secret Wars. And, you know, there have kind of been those on and off rumors about them negotiating another deal with Marvel. So we were having this debate about whether we would want the Russo brothers to come back or if it should be fresh blood. And it was an interesting conversation for sure.
And by the way, I don't even think Connor was saying he doesn't want the Russo brothers to come back. It was more that should somebody else be getting a chance?
Which is very fair. And I think my response has just been that I think the Russo brothers are uniquely talented when it comes to this type of film, like juggling a lot of characters and
gifted.
And Connor's point was like, well, yeah, but no one else has really been given a shot. But I just look at the different franchises that have tried to do that, directors that, you know, on paper would seem qualified for that have kind of failed to strike that balance that the Russos have gotten right over and over again. And so I'm totally down for someone else to come in and take a new shot at it. But I do think that it's, you know, whenever you find someone that can do this really unique type of movie so well, or just unique type of story so well, as compared to all these other properties that have not been able to land the plane like that. I don't know. I'm a little loath to not give them the shot again, but I also know that can just turn into playing the hits over and over. And we always say you want the Marvel Cinematic Universe to kind of keep pushing forward. So I guess we'll see.
We'll see. I've just been noticing the clues here in Phase 4. And if you want to notice more clues and you enjoyed last night's rewatch of the WandaVision finale, we hope to be doing more of that stuff all throughout Phase 4 as we kind of work back through some of that stuff. So be on the lookout on our social media for more news on when we're going to do more of those live rewatches at the FFW podcast, and check our website, theffwpodcast.com, for all kinds of info, how to join the Slack, how to join Friends from Work. Plus, like we've been talking about, we're starting to dive into Daredevil. We're starting to do some more movie club stuff, some more comic stuff. So if that interests you, go to theffwpodcast.com and check out that link. There's also a link there to, like I said, a few more hoodies, some more merchandise, some cool shirts that we have, and a contact form if you want to reach out to us there.
I would also say, you know, we were talking about some of these rumors and leaks around Doctor Strange. I know we have a lot of listeners that don't like seeing those things, and I relate to that. And one of the beauties I'm in the same boat. And one of the beauties of the Slack is that we have a set channel for rumors and leaks now where all of those things go that I actually keep muted because, again, I don't really like seeing those things, and we differentiate those from news. So if you feel like sometimes you can't be on like Marvel social media without seeing stuff like that, and you want somewhere where you can be having those conversations and see actual news breaking, actual kind of press releases from Marvel, then I think the Slack is a really good middle ground. It's a way to kind of stay in the conversation with folks without having things potentially spoiled. So that's my final Slack plug of the episode.
All right. So everyone be safe, be kind to each other, and we'll see you next week back here on Friends from Work.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.